in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 702. I am Lisa Sheps, along with my co-host this year, Miss Nicole Shiro. Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, January 4th, 2023, the 23rd ingredient. On the show today, we have the Vortex and their show, Ride the Wave. Later on, we'll be talking to Alex Garza of Pegasus Productions and his show, Alex Garza's McDuff. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and the great seas of the Pacific.
The drug is like a mirror, isn't it?
A funhouse mirror.
But that's funny.
A living dream,
okay.
Really.
I guess it should have been the Atlantic.
I guess so. Well, out in the Pacific,
I don't know my
Pineapple Express right now coming into the.
Awesome. We don't even have.
We don't have any water. No,
I know there's somebody else talking, but they're not speaking into a microphone, so we could not hear them.
Now they are.
Now they, there they go.
Here she is.
Well, Nicole, welcome back.
Lisa,
it's a new
you.
Year. It's a brand new year.
It is. It's 2023.
2023. 2030.
I feel it's a year for me.
So you were not here last week because where were you?
I was on the seas.
You were on the seas in the Pacific, which is really the Atlantic.
Yeah.
You were on a cruise ship.
I was.
And so
tell us how members.
Tell us how New Year's was on a cruise ship. What did they do?
I was home on the New Year's,
oh,
but I was there
mind.
For the Christmas.
Oh, okay. How was Christmas? Was Santa there?
Santa was there, and the captain kept saying, "Incoming! I see something on the radar," and all the kids were running. It was kind of adorable. And my niece, bless her, she was all thought we really were under attack for a minute. And I'm like, this poor generation is
wait,
so
your 14-year-old
like
14-year-old niece.
16-year-old.
16-year-old ouch. Niece thought there was a Santa Claus?
No, didn't think there was Santa Claus. She thought it was for real being
under
attacked
attack.
Something on the radar mm-hmm. and started freaking out. And we were like, it's Santa,
okay,
Morgan.
The magic of Christmas.
Let's introduce these disembodied voices that we're hearing.
Yes.
So that people know who we're here.
We
have Teresa
we have
Cruz.
Today.
Hi, Teresa.
Hey.
We have Maddie Barber Bachelman.
Hello, world.
Hello, world. And Rihanna Moore.
Hello, Austin and beyond.
And Eileen Ecker.
Hello.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you folks to use your theater voices when you speak on these microphones so that the little needles go up. That's technical.
Huh.
That's
huh.
technical jargon.
Yes.
So I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International
Kim.
Folk Bazaar. And I just want to also thank him for allowing me to host last week. I had so much fun.
Yes, you got to do a smorgasbord of songs from around the world.
I did. And I learned how difficult it is to find professional recordings of these.
I sent you a song to play.
You did, and I played it.
I know, but I'm just saying I contributed.
Okay. I did have a really good time. And I have to say one of my favorite things of playing was really not a theatrical thing at all, but it's from a spaghetti western called My Name Is Nobody, and it was the theme from My Name Is Nobody by Ennio Morricone, and it just reminds me of my high school years. And it's a spaghetti western spoof, and he spoofs his own music.
That's
and
funny.
It's a lot of fun.
I should have sent you Marlena Dietrich doing Surrey with a Fringe on
yeah,
top.
But you didn't.
German. I didn't know that was an epic fail.
So, thank you, Kim Simpson, for allowing me to fill his very large shoes. In today's show, he did all songs. He went way back into the box
archives.
And the archives, and he played music from 2022. Which way was, back. Which he is likes not to go this
way
year.
Back. I know.
Way back, at least 2 days.
I know.
So there's not a whole bunch of stuff going on yet. We're like ramping up into the new year.
This is the year of the Grobes and Back to the Future. So yeah, okay. This is a good year. No,
would not be an episode if Nicole did not mention Josh Groban.
I know.
but did you see the whole Death of a Salesman hullabaloo?
Oh, yes, I did. Kind of hard not to miss that one.
Yeah, so...
Did you watch the video? I didn't see the video.
I did see... I saw a little bit of the video. It was very hullabaloo-y. So what we are referring to is a woman was very disruptive.
You think?
Yeah, during Act 1. And this actually... I'm glad this happened.
Her husband, I believe, joined in, too.
Okay. I'm very glad this happened because this is the exception to my rule. Because as listeners to this program know, I'm very vocal about my disdain, and you are as well.
Yes.
With people like Patti LuPone and breaking character in the middle of a show to yell at somebody in the audience when it is not the actor's job to do so. In this case, I think it was perfectly acceptable because the show already got shut down by this woman, and then Wendell Pierce was the show had already stopped, and Wendell Pierce came out and tried to reason with her. Which so
not only that, he was like, "I will pay for your tickets, just leave." And the guy's like, "They're $400 a seat." He's like, "As I said, I will personally pay for your tickets. You will get your money back." And then everyone clapped, and they were leaving. And that woman, lovely, gave everyone the bird.
I love to say that the social media commenter said the woman and her companion appeared to be leaving at intermission, but then she came back.
It was definitely the Hot Mess Express.
Yeah, so the woman had asked for her money back, and Pierce tried to get the ushers to give her cash.
The ushers are like, do you know how much we make? Yeah.
Yeah. The ushers are also like, cash? What's that? How about Venmo? this, to remind folks, Death of a Salesman starring Wendell Pierce, definitely going to get all the awards. And, you know, we also talk about this. Every time Death of a Salesman is revived...
Everybody's nominated.
They get nominated and they win. And Sharon D. Clarke is also in it. So I just thought that was a fun story.
The guy with her also kept yelling, "I mean, we came because we love you from TV." And he was like, "Well, thank you. I will gladly give you your money back." Like... keep going.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about.
People have lost their minds. I just have to say that.
Have lost?
People have lost their minds.
That's true.
And I don't know why where proper manners went out the window, but they did.
Well, you know, we've often talked about this on the show, and the audiences are changing, I'm not giving her any excuse or saying that what she did is right or not. Well, I don't think it's right.
I feel like that behavior would have happened with her no matter where it was. It just happened to be in the theater this time.
In any context, it's bad. But those of us who run theaters and deal with theater and those of us who are of a certain age that expect a certain amount of decorum. In theater, we go to see theater. We are very quiet. We don't have our phones out. We don't talk.
Through a show.
Yeah. People, you know, a lot of us are looking and saying, "Well, audiences are different, and people relate to theater differently." And how do you work with a house? How do you work as a theater operator and have a space for all people? And it's interesting. It's a weird line.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's all that. I think a lot of just from a lot of traveling and stuff a lot lately, I just think people have lost their minds lately.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about theater. I'm not.
Yeah, I know, I think it just trickles into the theater. Unfortunately,
sure.
That's the
well,
problem.
I don't think
it's just audiences have changed. I think human society has changed.
Social agreements have changed the way that we agree to relate to each other.
Correct.
In public
and
spaces.
That's exactly what I'm talking
and
about.
It's just trickling in.
Well, no, but I think what you're talking about is social agreements have changed and the way we relate to things have changed. And the industry and the society either needs to change around it or not change and hunker in. But what you're talking about, Nicole, is something completely different. I mean,
I'm talking about the same thing. People are impatient now. People are angrier now. Like all of that.
I'm not speaking of that, but I get it. We're talking about two different things. So yes. And you know, maybe my discussion about how we operate with audiences is not correct in the context of the story about this woman.
No, who she's obviously our own entity.
So let's change the subject to people behaving badly in theater to people getting injured in theater.
Nice. Oh, is this the poor? Is this the Beetlejuice?
Poor Alex Brightman.
Poor Alex Brightman. I feel so bad for him.
But I wrote in my notes here. So he got a concussion.
Not good.
Not good.
He's okay.
So far, but yes. He's not going back into the show. He may not make it because the show is closing in next week, I mm-hmm. think. And so he may not make it back into the show. And of course, we're talking about Beetlejuice. I mm-hmm. think you said that.
Yes. If you say it three times, it might have Beetlejuice.
Didn't
Beetlejuice,
he
Beetlejuice.
Get injured?
When he was in School of Rock?
Yes. Didn't he get injured right at the top of that too?
I think he did.
Yeah.
He might be an injury magnet.
I said in my notes, Alex Brightman injured in parentheses again, question mark.
I think so, but I don't remember offhand, but that sounds really familiar instead of vaguely familiar.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
I know. It's a bummer. He wrote a nice little thing online to all the fans and everything, but
did he say, did he mention me?
He did. He was like, Lisa Sheps, I am so sorry, but we will have coffee soon.
Wait, again.
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 Yeah, so that is pretty amazing. And along the same lines of disruptive, or not disruptive, but theater not necessarily going right, there was a production of Merrily We Roll Along during
they had an issue too.
Right. They they could not get their
technical
show going.
Technical
issues, and I believe it was due to the cold, super cold weather snap, mm-hmm. but turn it into a positive. And this reminds me of when the blackouts happened in New York. Sometimes somebody come out with a guitar in the dark and just play music, and everybody would take this negative experience and turn it into a positive. So in this case, this is the Merrily We Roll Along production with
Daniel Radcliffe,
what's her name?
Your and guy you love.
Jonathan
Groff. What's her name? Lindsay Mendez. And the three of them came out and they said, sorry, we have this technical problem. Oh, the audience had been sitting in their seats for about an hour. And they came back and said, we don't think there's not going to be a show tonight.
It's not happening.
And they go, I think it was Groff said, but if you want to ask us some questions, you can. And they had a talk back.
They just sat there and just had Q&A and hung with the audience. And like, that's a special moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Special moment.
You know, we had a close encounter with the Groff Sauce himself.
You did?
We did. Yeah, we were rehearsing just one block from...
Who's we?
We, you know, the crew.
So this is the crew from the Vortex?
The crew from the Vortex, Ride the Wave Company. Mm-hmm. And we were rehearsing in New York because we all live in New York at present.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
Yeah. Got a bit of a rep. And we were leaving rehearsal on Great Jones Street. We were rehearsing at La Mama's studio. Mm-hmm.
And La Mama, et cetera.
La Mama ETC, Experimental Theater Club, dedicated to the artist and all aspects of the theater. And we walked by Jonathan Groff, and he had little playful eyes for us, because I think both Eileen and I were like,
it's the Groff Sauce.
Yeah. It was him. He had just finished.
Did he
just finished
on
up
you?
Dinner. He didn't spit, but God, he had.
God, I wish he did.
Right in the mouth.
That's great. Well, now you've actually just taught me something, because I lived in New York for 20 years. I lived around in the 70s and 80s, and La Mama was either just starting or relatively young. I always thought it was La Mama, et cetera.
Well,
I did not realize that ETC actually stood for something.
Oh. No.
20 years later.
C is never too, you're never too old to learn.
Yeah. Never.
I think it's just like a cute, convenient thing that it shortens.
I think
ETC.
That's great. I have learned something that I like.
And La Mama started as a club because that was the only way to do it legally.
Do what legally?
Like the way that Alan Stewart, the founder of La Mama, had it, you couldn't be selling tickets and inviting the public in that way, but you could have a private club, so you buy a ticket.
Well, there you go. That is worth Googling for those of you who want to find out. That's good. So who's heard of this documentary called Broadway Rising?
Oh, mm-hmm. I saw the little trailer thingy on it.
I saw the trailer, which doesn't really have a whole...
It's very elusive.
And then I tried to find it to watch it. And
it's, again, very elusive.
Very elusive. Can't find it. So to tell people what we're talking about, Broadway Rising is a a documentary by a woman named Amy Rice. It's an upbeat documentary chronicling theater professionals, not the artists, but really everybody around the artists,
right,
and the house management and things like that, and how they dealt with the pandemic and the shutdown of the pandemic. And I will just read this little piece from this review in the New York Times by Nicholas Rappold. I'm going to say Rappold.
Rappold.
Because Rappold is just, but it's probably Rappold.
Sounds like a verb.
Anyway, Nicholas says, in a churn of behind-the-scenes verite and sit-down interviews plus other to-camera commentary, we see performers, customers, producers, musicians, playwrights, and even a well-liked usher go through the coronavirus pandemic stages of grief. Highlighted here, I wanted to point this out, is your good friend, may he rest in peace, Terrence McNally.
T-Mac. That's T-Mac.
And his husband, Tom.
He's that cool. Yeah,
and also Nick Cordero, who, you know, God, that...
That Tom Kerhady's still producing.
What?
Tom Kerhady's still producing. Yeah. Away. He started at Terrence Foundation.
Yep. Good. We spent so much time in 2020 talking about Nick Cordero and just watching this man die, basically, online and through social media. And I haven't heard his name in so long. And when I read it again today, it just sent me right back to that just awful time. To remind folks, Nick Cordero is an actor who died from COVID. Well chronicled with his wife, who is, what's her name? Anybody?
Oh, I just had her name in my head. Anyway,
she was very, very active in social media, and she would just chronicle how he would like start to get better and then get worse and roller coaster ride until he finally passed away. Anyway, that was very sad to rethink.
Gosh,
sorry to bring us down.
I just had her name in my head a second ago.
Maybe it'll come back.
Shazam.
This critic said the whole thing. Produced a bland sensation. They didn't think it was all that good, but I still want to see it.
Yeah. I love it.
But I still want to see it. I mean,
where would one find it? Is it as elusive as you thought, or where?
I don't remember where I found it, but it says it's available on demand. So I'm guessing it's maybe on a pay service.
That's like 500 services. Like, good luck demand? On that one. That's like the service rabbit hole.
You know what? They have this thing. My computer has this little service called the Google. It came with the computer.
Huh. Yes, but I tried it, but it was still elusive, and all I saw was you elusive. Can stream it. So I'm like, again, but where?
Where to do that?
But where?
Okay, I thought we were going to have not enough to talk about, and we're running out of time. In the New York Times, I was actually sort of interested in this. I saw in our Broadway briefing, it said this article about 10 things they're looking forward to in 2023. And I was assuming it was all about Broadway, but it wasn't. It was the arts in general. But there were two theater-related things that I thought were interesting, or at least one theater-related thing that I thought were interesting, which I'm going to have to try to scroll to get to. This is the bad part of switching over to electronic. It's like, oh, yeah. So this I did not know. Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote Raisin in the Sun. And did that statue get placed yet? You know, they're doing a statue of her in...
I don't think so.
New York. I forgot where exactly. But she's only had two of her plays produced. One was Raisin in the Sun, 1959. And then there's this show called The Sign in Sidney Brustein's Window. Opened in Broadway in 1964 and closed in 1965. And they say it hasn't been seen much again.
Has anyone done it again?
It's coming back. In fact, from February 4th through March 9th, directed by Ann Kaufman for BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music, starring Oscar Isaac and Rachel Brosnahan.
Interesting.
Yeah. Whoa. Wait, somebody laughed. Why did we laugh?
Just unexpected.
I know.
You hear Raisin in the Sun and you're like, right.
You hear Rachel Brosnahan. Exactly.
I was like, Oscar Isaac. Okay. Yeah, Rachel Brosnahan.
It is a little perplexing.
So it's about a Bohemian village couple, much like herself and her husband, Robert Nemoff. So struggling to align racial, sexual, religious, cultural positions in that contemporary politics of the day. So that looks really interesting to me.
What was the other thing on there that you were interested about? You said there were two.
Actually, there's two, but one was Michael B. Jordan. But it's not theater. He's making an IMAX film about, it's called Creed 3, about some boxing. You're nodding.
I was about to say, Creed.
There's been a couple of Creed, haven't there?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
It's in the Rocky world. From Rocky. Yeah. It's the spinoff of Apollo Creed.
Yeah, like, it's in the second movie. Yeah. After he dies.
She knows Rocky Das musical because I tortured her.
I saw the movie Rocky about 2 years after it opened in the 70s, and then I've never saw
it. It's all connected to that, just so you know.
So,
yeah. I want to know when Michael B. Jordan is making Creed 3 the musical.
Opens
on Broadway.
So anyway, this is so you can see Creed 3 March 3rd.
My dad's in IMAX.
That was the other thing. The other interesting thing is, you know, the most widely produced opera of Wagner is Lohengrin.
Really?
Oh, you're nodding, Eileen, like you know
I
that.
I would have thought it was like Threepenny. Really?
Well, Threepenny Opera is not Wagner.
Bricht?
Oh, that's yeah, Bricht. Sorry, you're right.
This is Wagner.
That's not what I would have expected. Interesting.
Anyway, so they're doing a Robert Wilson version. And Robert Wilson, as folks may know, is a very famous avant-garde director and producer.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's interesting, and that's going to happen February 26th. Where? The Met? Oh.
At the theater! Yeah.
Oh, the most accessible of them all.
At the theater.
At the theater.
Yep. Let's see. Did we talk about Merrily? We did.
Yes.
But we did not talk about Parade in Basking Ridge.
Oh.
So Parade, as we know, is getting another Broadway production with Ben Platt and I forgot her name. Oh, what's that?
Woman.
We just got Maddie just made a big
gesture.
Theatrical
do it again.
Gesture.
We're good at charades.
I guess if it had a sound to go along with it, it would be.
You don't like Ben Platt?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
He speaks very highly of you.
Oh,
just saying.
And somehow she's the last to know.
Did you hear them do the duet from Parade and you didn't love it?
No, I abstain.
You abstain from, so you didn't see it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then you can't you can't have an opinion.
Oh. She can.
I guess that's how that works.
Anyway, so they're doing... they're doing a production in American Theater Group. This is Somerset County, New Jersey, and a very dear friend of mine lives in Basking Ridge, which made me. That's what brought me to this.
Did they
but
know?
It's going to happen in March 2nd through 5th, and it is being directed by one Hunter Foster.
Yes, I did see the Hunter Foster was directed.
So Parade is getting a lot of things, and so of course it's going to open. In New York, it probably won't last very long, and I will just, you know, just a long...
I think it was a limited engagement anyway.
I don't know. I think they... Well, it hasn't opened on Broadway, and I think... I don't know that it's... It'll probably be a limited engagement.
I thought it was, but I could be wrong.
It wouldn't make sense for it to be an open-ended engagement because it won't... I don't think Parade has the popular appeal. I mean, for people who don't know the show, they're going to go thinking they're going to see a light little romp,
yes,
and then they want to slit their wrist at the end of it.
Then they're like, whoa.
It's beautiful music. But the thing I was listening to, a podcast today and talking about sort of equating Jason Robert Brown's forays into commercial theater to Sondheim's initial things. A lot of his stuff that he started out came, like Merrily We Roll Along is a perfect example. Big flop when it opened the first time and then has become. And so Jason Robert Brown hasn't had a big, nothing huge, but people like to come back to it, like the last 5 years. Like
he also has a very large cult following, I would say, if you have to put it that way.
I don't know that I would describe it as a cult following, but he definitely has has a following. Just like we used to talk, and we haven't talked about him a lot, who wrote The Civil War?
Oh, Frank Wildhorn.
Frank Wildhorn.
Yeah, they're like same apples kind of, and yeah, oranges. Same kind I of think. Thing. But still, I get, yeah.
Anyway, we've just talked ourselves silly here. So
I can't believe you used that Not the Jekyll and the Hyde as a reference.
Because that's
you
the
still
one.
You talk about
well,
that
yeah,
all the
well,
time.
Because
exactly.
nobody so despises like, really? Jekyll and Hyde as much as I do. So. even Maddie probably likes it better than I do.
She likes a lot of things.
But you know
things,
who would be
yes.
really good in Jekyll and Hyde?
Who?
Me.
Ben Platt. Oh.
We'll have to call Ben Platt and let him know.
All right, let's take a little break and come back, and we will talk to these wonderful people that we've been having lovely conversations about the reason why they're here. But let's listen to a little bit of Merrily We Roll Along, not the the newer version, but the actually original with Jason Alexander and company. And this is It's a Hit. We'll be right back.
It's a hit.
We are back. You're listening to Lisa and
Nicole.
Sorry, I didn't have your microphone on. On off stage and on the air on KOOP. I should say before we go into the next thing, we are having a blood drive right here for those of you in Austin who are not listening on the podcast. Tomorrow, January 5th from 9 to noon, right here at Co-op Radio, which is at 3823 Airport Boulevard in the great city of Austin, Texas, we're going to have the Bloodmobile. You can get information where? By scanning this QR code, which I can't do on the radio.
Do you think they could go to
Go to koop.org and you could probably get all the information you need. We are blood.org. You can make an appointment there and come and give blood. Like the rest of us.
Look at that.
So I really would just love to continue our conversation. You know, when you get... Actually, all of us are Northeasterners.
Yes.
Really? We just want to talk. We are here to talk about this show. We have, which is called Ride the Wave at the Vortex. We have the writer of this piece, Maddie Barber Bachelman. That's hard to say.
Dude, blame my parents.
Try that again because I didn't have your microphone on.
Blame my parents. they were trying to figure it out, the whole equality, parenting, equity. But you know.
Yeah.
Well, I like it.
It's alliterative.
It is. Yes. BB. Just
too bad
BB.
You might have wanted to think about changing your name to Barbie.
Right. Maddie Barbie. That would... Barbie.
No. Barbie Barber Bachelman.
Barbie Barber Bachelman. Should have thought of that.
I'm going to call your
time.
Parents
to be there's meeting you at this time. Point in my life.
Surprise. I have your parents on the line right now.
All right.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Wait. They're here.
We have the director, Teresa Cruz.
Hello.
God, what's going on with the microphones? This time I had the microphone
it's
on,
the gremlins
but I did
of
not
2023.
Have the I did not have the mic the volume up. Try it again.
Hello.
I told you it would finally work. And then we have two of the actors, Rihanna Moore.
Hello.
And Eileen Ecker.
Hey.
Okay. Hey. Okay. Tell us about this show, Maddie. What is it? It's Ride the Wave. It's a surfer's bro kind of thing, but I'm not seeing a lot of broness here.
That's true. Good observation. It's three surfer bros. It's a trio.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
Oh, are you also in it?
I am. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
And it's...
She's riding many waves.
Yeah. And we're a group of... All of us are young women, and we are riffing on the sort of surfer bro trope as a way
to... The SBT.
Yeah. Thanks. I didn't know you knew that one. that
jargon.
To sort of explore freedom and the powers of joy and friendship.
Music involved? Do we hear surfer music?
There's some grooves. The music is by one Johan Solo, who is a Vortex artist.
Yes,
and
we know Johan.
Family member of Teresa Cruz.
He's my cousin.
All in the family.
And yeah, it's groovy. We don't... I would say that we sing just a touch in the show, but it's...
I love that song, Just a Touch.
Just a Touch? Oh, yeah.
It's a gorgeous piece. Teresa, you're directing this piece.
I am.
Sounds like, just the vibe I get in the room. This has had to be a pretty fun rehearsal room.
It is. And also, we are all very dear friends, have been friends for... Eileen and I for 20 years, these fools for like 10
y'all
years
don't look
almost.
20 years old, for God's sake.
I was just like, what time capsule are you all living in?
And we also all live in the same apartment.
Oh, so that's getting so your roommates in New York.
Yeah,
we inhabit a brownstone.
Amazing.
In Brooklyn. Yeah.
In Brooklyn. I was about to say it had to be Brooklyn.
It's been definitely, and working on the show with Maddie, we like did it in the pandemic, like when the pandemic happened, the Vortex gave away slots. So we like, we're like, let's write a piece. And we had this idea. So we did a 25-minute piece and now we've like made it into longer. And so it's just been interesting working with friends. And by interesting, I mean interesting process, not... interesting. They're interesting people.
Not an ominous.
Yeah. Not an ominous. Interesting. Exactly.
The 25-minute piece. Did you perform it at the Vortex?
We performed it online using a software called LiveLab, which is a performance tool it's a tool for remote performance created by Culture Hub, which is an art and technology spot at La Mama, where I work.
You work there.
I do.
La Mama, et cetera.
Et cetera. I work in the et cetera part. So at that point in time, Rihanna and Eileen lived together, and they got set up with a couple of feeds into our live stream, and I was at a different apartment, and we created a little
Piece.
And so now we're bringing it into the real space, into the Vortex, and it's becoming, it's the theatricality of the world is becoming more clear.
That first one, we kind of just had this story of these three bros, these three boys, and then this last day of summer, and it ended with this ominous wave. And so now in the live performance, we're asking, we want to explore a little bit further of like what happens after the wave hits.
Okay. Is this a metaphorical wave, a real wave, or a little bit of both?
This is honestly a huge spoiler. Just kidding.
Well, they can just watch the live stream.
So when you come to the Vortex, you may want to wear a raincoat.
Yeah.
So that's
we might be groff spitting on everybody. You never know.
So there may be we don't know what it is at this point.
I mean, it's a wave for these boys, but okay. I think the questions are: can these characters, these bros, can they survive this crisis?
Well, that's
dun, dun, dun.
And exactly. At the end of the day, we are three friends Tess is a friend as well. and can we survive whatever crises are going to come our way?
Yeah, people can't see it, but Tessa is somewhat removed from the three of you. So that was apropos of what you said.
She's not
contrary to popular belief, she's the glue. But
when you wrote this, you did not. It sounds like you did not write this in your sitting alone in your room. It sounded like it was more developed as a group.
It started honestly as an idea with two friends who are not here, Allie Horn and Verna Estes.
They're here in spirit, you know them.
as a joke, we sort of made up three characters and we're riffing, and then started telling Tess about this. This was in 2017.
And we were like, let's write a musical.
We were like, it's a musical for sure. and so we started. But it's just kind of fun to start with like this huge idea of like, yeah, and then this person wants this. Because musicals are pretty straight up with, I want. I'm going to sing my song about it.
They actually have a name for that. It's the I want song.
Exactly. and then it had just been sort of stewing as an idea. And we would keep on in our sort of, when we would talk, we'd be like, oh, that's in Ride the Wave. Oh, yeah, that's a part of this show too. So then when we got this, then we made the piece in 2020. And then I think with this iteration, it was some more writing alone, but a lot of it was developed with Tess in terms of like structurally and also what's the question that we're like, what's the experiment that's going on here? And the experiment really is the sort of final act. It's sort of like starts to ask how does it end? What do we do in the end?
Awesome. Well, you're prepared to give us a little taste of the show, are you not?
We are.
Just a taste.
So let's do a little microphoneography to make sure all of you get in. Does this scene need to be set up in any way?
I think it does need to be set up a small bit. I will first introduce the characters. I play Trevor. Trevor is sort of the like ringleader. Rihanna once described Trevor as over-involved, which I think is accurate.
Don't we all know that
he thinks he's aggressive? And Trevor thinks he's the leader, but he's really just the loudest.
And so I play Trevor. and Rihanna plays Matt. Matt is more of a...
Hot boy.
Hot boy. Cool boy. He's
a ripper.
He's got some ideas about who he wants to be in the world, which, you know. And then Sketch is played by Eileen. And Sketch is a bit of a mediator. He's also most in tune with the weather. And he's also a radio host. So awesome. This has all been relate. Great research for us.
All right. Well, this is Maddie Barber-Bockelman, Rihanna Moore, and Eileen Ecker doing a scene from The Vortex, Ride the Wave.
I'm going to do one more setup, which
Oh, wait. Before we do that, we're going to do another setup.
Yeah. That was the setup to the setup. Okay, so now it's... about, you know, it's a little afternoon, we've surfed, we've laid in the sun, and now we're hungry, and we're going to eat some chicken fingers.
Oh, well, of course. And everything I said before is still valid.
All right.
To the past.
To the present.
To the future.
Brothers. Together.
Forever.
Tastes like summer.
Tastes like summer from our whole lives. Like, this right here is summer to me in a basket.
Truth, Ruth.
Yeah, man. The memories are, like, baked in. That's what makes them so good.
Boneless.
Where do you think they put all the bones?
I heard that in the future, like, archaeologists or whatever exists in that category in the future are going to be so perplexed by the sheer quantity of chicken bones on the planet from our, like, little era of mankind.
Like, they're gonna have a hard time understanding how or why we killed so many chickens?
Or, like, if there was some kind of mass extinction event or whatever.
That's intense.
I wonder where they put all the bones. Do you think they drop them in the ocean?
Just, like, bones in the ocean?
Then I guess in the future, they would, like, wash up on the shore.
Just like bones on the beach. Piles of bones!
Gross!
If the wave hits them over and over, you think they would turn into sand?
So our beach would be made out of chicken.
Yes! Like, dang! We really love chicken!
Yeah, we do! Obsessed!
Like, imagine! We're creating problems for future scientists to uncover.
Well, I'm not going to concern myself with no future scientists right now.
What do you mean?
Stay in the present.
Stay in the present.
Right, but to be present is also the future. I mean, you think about the future every day. You know, what's the tide got in store for me today? We always think about what's coming next, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or 5,000 years from now. Like, it's gonna happen, and maybe it's inevitable.
Stay in the present, bro.
Get your head out of the horizon.
Stay present.
And focus on our future. Tonight, we're having the greatest night surf of our lives!
Nip time!
Yeah, baby!
We just gotta be careful out there, bros. Wind's pulling straight out.
Oh my god, how much fun. Thankfully, Nicole's and my microphone were off because we were chuckling the whole time. But I'll tell you what, a beach made out of chicken, heaven. Heaven. You know, it's only the only thing better would be a lobster beach.
I was about to say, Lisa and I would both be on that beach as long as it had lobster and cocktails with it.
With that scene, talking about chicken fingers summer, like this play and us playing boys and giving ourselves like freedom to jump around and be whatever and building like this new future, this new utopia, and like just joking that like, yeah, our utopia, we'd all have 6-pack abs, we'd just be able to eat chicken fingers in the sand all day long.
Shirts
done.
Off.
Shirts off.
No shoes.
No rules.
Ocean.
No
rules.
I'll tell you what though, if I were a playwright that was going to write a show that I was going to perform in, I would make sure there were chicken fingers in it.
Exactly. It's kind of crazy because all the production meetings, like, the questions that I
was... Was there a chicken finger budget?
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, having the meeting, and my brother walks in, and I was like, oh, I'm in a meeting, sorry. And at that point, they were like, Maddie, what do you think? And I was like, no, they need to be tenders, not nuggets. And they're going to need to be at least one per person per night. Yeah. And Corey was like, my brother was like, okay.
At my theater, we did a show that had chicken, and they were very specific about which brand, where it came from, blah blah blah, and how many for each thing. Well, that's awesome. This I will definitely be in the audience when y'all do this. Woo-hoo. When does this show play?
The show plays January 12th. It opens on the 12th of January.
Next Thursday.
And it runs through the 28th of January.
Wonderful. Dun, and where dun, can dun, folks dun. Go to get more information?
VortexRep.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you so much
for being on the show. Thank we really y'all. Had a great time.
Thanks for having us.
And best of luck and good trip back. Give our regards to Broadway. I miss New York.
Say hello, New York.
All right. We'll be back soon. We'll practice.
Okay. That was Maddie Barber Bockelman, Teresa Cruz, Rihanna Moore, and Eileen Ecker of the Vortex production of Ride the Wave, January 12th through 28th. For more information, vortexrep.org. And after having this interview, I may have chosen a different song, but I still like this one. It's called Paddling Along.
Yeah. Paddling, paddling along. Paddling.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at KOOP.org. And what? How fun was that conversation?
That was so fun.
I was just saying, during the break, how much I love having New Yorkers on the show.
It's very exciting.
It's like family.
It is like family.
It's like family.
It is.
I will say that during our very short break, we were joined by Alex Garza. Hi,
dun,
Alex.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hi, how are y'all today?
I need you to speak right into the microphone.
Here we go.
There you go. That's so much better.
There's Alex.
So we're going to take a little moment, about local stuff. And there isn't a whole bunch to talk about right this very moment because according to ATX Theater and Now Playing Austin, there's really nothing playing this weekend.
No, not. I think everyone
They needed a break.
They're gearing up for the next performances.
But we do have things coming up. We have Pretty Woman. Happening at Bass Concert Hall.
Correct.
Broadway Across America.
With one Adam Pascal.
Oh, is he in it?
Oh, he is. He's Edward.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Have you watched it, Starship Discovery or Star Trek Discovery?
Oh, is he in that?
Never mind. No, it wasn't.
You're thinking of...
No. It is Adam Pascal. It is Adam Pascal.
Okay. Something Rotten. He was in that one. Because there's Anthony Rapp and Adam Pascal. They were Mark and what's his name?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure it's Adam Pascal.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I oftentimes am.
Oh, well.
And so that's happening on the 17th of this month through the 22nd. Austin.Broadway.com is a good place to go to get information about
Houston
that.
Houston right now.
Coming up at Ground Floor Theater, and they will be guests on this show next week, is The Sound Inside. It's a pretty heavy duty show. I'd forgotten about it until I started looking at it.
And then you were like, that is heavy duty.
I remember when it opened, and I believe that was what's her name was in it? Can't remember.
I don't know.
So that's happening, and of course, Zach Theater is in the process. They just started rehearsals yesterday for Cinderella, along with Deaf Austin Theater. So it's a bilingual version of Cinderella.
Yes.
With Sandra May
with
Frank.
One Sandra May Frank yep. playing Cinderella. I'm very excited about
Chrissy
that.
Lemon, who was just in our show last 5 years.
I was just about to say you have left. And Taylor Flanagan.
And like a bunch of our crew
Kenny
from the last
Williams
5 years.
Is in it, but you have a lot of... Mervin is in it. Yep.
Yeah, don't ask me to pronounce their last name
because
I can't. Mervin
Primo O'Brien.
Oh, aren't you so good?
Dun, dun, dun.
Shout out to Mervin. I just saw Brian just about an hour ago. Brian Cheslick is the co-director.
Dr. Brian Cheslick.
Dr. Brian Cheslick, yes. Since he got that PhD, he insists on using
you
that
You
want to
know what? I would too. So go Dr. Brian.
I don't know that I would, but I appreciate people that do.
Yes.
So really, we're just gearing up to get started with theater
There's
here in Austin.
A lot of fantastical theatrical events happening this year, so it's exciting.
It should
start kicking off soon.
It should be groovy, but let's just jump right into unless there's anything I missed, because you've got your thumb print on everything going on in town.
You covered what I was thinking of.
Well, of course, and I didn't mention, but we're going to mention it at length in just a moment.
Because we're about to speak to the other one,
About Macduff that's going to be done at Ground Floor Theater, both in real, like right there in real time, but also streamed.
Yes.
Yep. Starring the indomitable
Alex Garza.
Yeah. How about some Today in Theater History?
Oh, give it to me. Oh, speaking of theater history, mm-hmm. I did meet Martin Beck's granddaughter on my trip.
Oh.
And we
they
sat
were
and
on
talked
the, they
on
were
the
on
cruise,
the
yes.
Cruise.
Which is now renamed the Al Hirschfeld Theater. That used to be the Martin Beck Theater.
Correct.
But we did sit and talk theater for it. It was so exciting to have someone exactly. to sit and talk about theater with.
I'm guessing Martin Beck's grandchild?
Yes.
Is probably not a youngster.
No, because she is 4 years younger than my mother. They went to the same yeah. college. So 71? Yeah. 70? 70, 71, she is.
There you go.
But it was just older very exciting to have like about. Random theater person, and we sat and talked, and I heard all these wonderful stories.
So, today in theater history, back in 1956, the year before I was born.
56?
Starring Lunt and Fontaine.
Lunt and Fontaine?
It was The Great Sebastians.
That sounds like it needs There's, like some ominous and some drum rolls and rim shots coming
and
afterwards.
No, you
like,
heard
the
right.
The Great Sebastians.
Right, exactly. Plural.
I know. I got that.
Hold on, I got to see the year. 1981.
I wish there was video of Lenton Fontaine doing that. I wonder if yeah. I could find
well,
it.
Well, there's a picture here on the playbill.
That's spectacular.
Frankenstein opened in 1981. At the Palace. And
why do I feel like it opened earlier? Really? 1981.
1981. In 1948, Skipper Next to God.
Is Skipper Next to God?
I guess so. And I don't think they're talking about Skipper from 3 Hour Tour. Gilligan's Island.
Island, yes.
Also in 1973, The Plow and the Stars opened at the Lincoln Center, the Vivian Beaumont.
Center. I don't know that joke.
Sean O'Casey wrote it.
Sean O'Casey.
Sean
he's
O'Casey,
a fine
you know,
young boy.
Mr. and Mrs. O'Casey.
A fine young
boy.
Lad he was, that Sean O'Casey.
Speaking of Irish accents, I am I'm rewatching Schmigadoon right now. I just love it.
I was going to watch
wait for the next
the
season.
Schmigadoon. And yes, I haven't told you that I went on to some of the streaming side that I'm so anti against, but yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, I know. Look at me.
Good for you.
Making waves.
Here are some birthdays. Dave Malloy.
Oh, happy birthday, Dave.
Natasia Diaz, who I don't think
name.
I know.
I don't know her either,
Jim
but it's
Norton,
a great name.
Who, I mean, I know Jim Norton, but like, look at his picture now. He's not young anymore. And Patrick Cassidy. And then Sterling Holloway was born in 1905.
Sterling Holloway.
Oh, I didn't do this opening because this is a good one. And we're totally running out of time, but I want to have time to talk about this. Home Sweet Homer.
Why do I know that? Was that the Odyssey redone?
It has got to do with the Odyssey, but it's a rather infamous. It's in our Not Since Carrie book.
Yes, that's what I thought. Okay.
This opened in 1996. It's a musical with a book by Roland Kibbe and Albert Mayer, and lyrics by Charles Burr and Foreman Brown, music by Mitch Lee. This was a piece that was written for... hold on, I got written down right here.
For people to go and see?
Yul Brynner.
Oh!
And it had just problems after problems.
This is just ringing all sorts of bells now that you brought this up.
Yeah, so I've
got to
just...
It was like the Rebecca of its time.
Well, not... Kind of, yes, absolutely. Very, very similar to Rebecca. So it was co-starring Joan Denier, D-I-E-N-E-R, I'm sure she was somebody who was supposed to know. They all filed... it was played with problems from the start. So they got sick. Both of them got sick at the same time. And they sued Trader Vic's in Manhattan for $7.5 million, alleging the short ribs they ate were poisonous.
Oh.
And then every city it went to, it had really bad reviews.
Did they keep suing people along the way? I mean, you can't blame it on the short ribs at that part.
Why? I don't know. but Eric Siegel, who was the, one of the authors, asked to be let have his name removed from the credits.
Oh,
and then they fired the choreographer, Billy Wilson. And they, the creative team took over the choreography, and then Brynner, who was not happy, tried to terminate his contract, but backed down when they were going to countersue him for $1 million. And then they decided to close the show at the end of the tour and not open on Broadway, but then Brynner threatened to quit if they didn't go to New York.
I mean, it's like they flipped a coin each day and just decided to see which way they were feeling.
And so they opened on this date in 1976. After they had 11 previews, the closing notice was posted as soon as the first curtain fell. And so I thought my show, Oh Brother, was bad in terms of that. But it sounds like
a lot going on.
That needs a sitcom. They did not have any real recordings of it, but I did find a YouTube.
Look at you.
A YouTube recording of it with Yul Brynner
and Joan
Denier. And this is a song called He Will Come Home Again. We will be right back. Okay, we are back. I can't take blame for the quality of that.
It was a YouTube's from like decades ago.
Correct, decades ago. So let's introduce Alex Garza of Pegasus Productions. Hi, Alex. Well, no, you know what?
Hello.
You just got to turn the microphone in order to hear you. Do
try
it.
Try that again.
Hello, Lisa. Hi, Nicole. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Alex, I have not seen you in person in a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's nice
to
see you.
Be back here and, see y'all in person.
Well,
in
your very own eyes. Let's jump right to this. On Saturday night, you're doing a one-man show.
Yes.
Our one-person show.
One person, one person, one person. Saturday, Saturday, Saturday.
She's on fire today. Tell us about it. It's called McDuff.
Yes, it's called McDuff. And sometimes I go with one man, one person, solo performance. I never know what to call them anymore.
And I did. So. I said two out of three of those things.
Yes. So whichever, you know.
You almost had the trifecta there.
Almost did.
Almost.
So, Alex, you were doing a solo performance called McDuff. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, this has been a solo performance. It's been kind of like in the works for a long time, kind of a work in progress and over several years. And it's been something that's been, I wouldn't necessarily say close to my heart, but something that's never kind of left my brain and my, in terms of my desire to kind of finally put it on stage. A couple of years ago when we kind of were hit with COVID and the pandemic, I had an opportunity to do a couple of readings of this play, as a work in progress at the Vortex, and have audiences give me feedback, you know, and kind of work on, you know, revisions and kind of shaping the show a little bit more. And the reason I did it, particularly, I think around 2020, 2021, is because when I was thinking about COVID and a show that kind of had that theme of what we were going through at the time, I thought about this play because the character definitely goes through this, you know, series of events, emotions, and he definitely is kind of trapped in a this bubble of isolation, which I could totally identify with, as you know, because of what we went through starting in 2020 with, you know, as soon as COVID hit around March of 2020. And so the Vortex was kind of looking for shows and works in progress to kind of maybe produce readings for that would kind of go along those lines and the themes of isolation.
I find McDuff COVID. Fascinating.
Wonderful.
Too,
so the McDuff is a character from this show, Macbeth.
Yes.
Written by William Shakespeare. Are you playing McDuff, the character, as he searches for meaning in his life? Or are you playing an actor who is playing McDuff? Tell us about the show itself.
Well, it's kind of taken some different twists and turns and kind of gone through some evolutions over the years in how I wanted to kind of portray this on stage. But I played the role in the Shakespeare play several years ago. And I was always fascinated with that character because he goes through, even though he's not like what you would call the main character in the play, he goes through quite a journey and kind of ups and downs of emotions, you know, anger, revenge, sadness, grief. And I wanted to kind of explore what happens to this character when the play is over. You know, he really kind of took a toll on him, you know, emotionally, mentally, psychologically. And I wanted to see what kind of journey this character would take when the play ends and where does he go from there. So in this play, my kind of interpretation as a solo performance, I have him kind of go through time and because of certain circumstances and his grandmother's, who is a witch, because of a spell that she puts on him, he becomes immortal. And so he takes this journey through time, through the decades, centuries, and he kind of has to adapt to his circumstances in passing through time, but also he's kind of stuck with the memories and the emotions that he experienced in the play Macbeth.
Wonderful.
And I kind of try to explore how does he deal with his, like, you know, emotions and his grief and his anger, and where does all that go as he travels through time and he finds himself kind of, you know, in different periods of the future.
Got it.
So up to the present.
Love it.
Oh, that's amazing. And you're going to do a little piece for us here.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're running a little late, so let's just jump to it. So do you need to set this up in any way?
Just real quick, at one point in history, he ends up in Italy and he meets a violinist who plays music so passionately, he falls in love. But he's so afraid to feel and to love and to commit to somebody because he is immortal. He knows that everybody he meets is eventually going to leave his life. So this is the point where he decides he cannot commit to a love, a relationship.
Amazing. Well, this is Alex Garza doing a piece from his solo performance of Macduff.
If only I could, I whispered to him. I placed his violin on his chest as a reminder for him to continue to play his art. So that perhaps another would enter his castle, one more worthy of his love, one not so fearful of love, of loss, of life. I walked away knowing the echoes of his beautiful, haunting music would play in my mind eternally. The truth is, I could have fallen in love with him, and I knew that he would die someday, and I would just go on living. I just thought it would be easier to walk away. So that's my life. They all die, and I'm meant to live, and I would like to think my life has some sense of purpose. There has to be a reason my grandmother placed her magical spell on me and left me a prisoner on this planet for infinity. Even she died, and it's not fair. You know what? I'm up here trying to share my story, and you could care less. I thought I could somehow make my existence bearable by trying to connect with you, by trying to manipulate a laugh or two, maybe induce a few boo-hoos from the audience. But it doesn't matter. I'm tired of pretending that I belong here, that I am relevant because I have 460 friends on Facebook. That's one less than yesterday. I have no idea what happened to that person. Did they drop me as a friend? Did they tire of my endless videos of me singing? I can't sing, I know that, but what's wrong with doing something I enjoy to bring a speck of joy into my life? I enjoy singing show tunes. Best invention ever. If we had them in Scotland 1,000 years ago, maybe I wouldn't have been so moody. Or did that Facebook person just take a break? Ugh, I'm so exhausted with social media. I just need some time off. But you know they're still there. They didn't take a break. They're invisible. They're still spying on their friends, stalking their past lovers. And I'll go ahead and stop there.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, we are running a little late, so we're plumbing out of time. Tell people when this happens and where people can get information.
Saturday, January 7th, this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. And you can get more information at groundfloortheater.org.
Alex, thank you
so much.
So
cool. Thanks for coming
Thanks so much
thank you for
coming
letting me share.
Sorry, this was so short. We got to gabbing today.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Once again, that's Alex Garza with Alex Garza's Macduff playing on Saturday, January 7th at 7:30 p.m. at Ground Floor Theater. More information, groundfloortheater.org. We're plumb out of time, Nicole Shiro.
Out of time. It's gone.
And I must say that John Hoffner is away. He's taking some well-deserved time off. Rock and Roll George is going to be substituting for him. And I don't know whether Rock and Roll George is doing the show or whether he's going to just play some that wonderful music that he spins.
Well,
but
he is engineering, that's for sure.
But he owns the next hour. And you and I are going to go away with from the show Penelope.
Another
which is
one
another
I don't
one
know.
About the Odyssey.
Oh.
And this is called When I Am King. So we will see y'all next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air.
Au revoir.
Bye, everybody.
When I am king, everyone will bow to me, especially Penelope.